Up next on The Big Room.
I will say, they did mention that it was kind of like a Western, which I was like, okay, you kind of got me with the Western motif.
Without any
angle.
Of the
like,
charm at all.
Right, but it's like sand on a beach is kind of like right. Sand in the desert.
No.
Exactly the same.
A watering hole in the deserts of Oklahoma serves a totally different purpose than a watering hole on the beaches of Glass Key. You just know that across the street from a red house, there's mini golf. It's different. Welcome back to The Big Room. It's a good day. Danielle's back.
I'm back.
I'm back in my proper chair.
It.
I'm wearing my proper headphones. And we watched Roadhouse again.
Yeah, we sure did.
Our first episode ever was Roadhouse, but the 1989 Roadhouse. Or as I will start referring to it, the good Roadhouse. The good
I was Roadhouse. Trying to remember... Throughout, because it was so long ago now, we've watched so many movies.
It's been a year and a half.
I was
just
like,
about.
What all happened in the first one besides punching?
Literally been like 62 movies.
I did rewatch it.
So that was Ooh. That was episode,
the original.
Yeah,
nice.
Original kind Roadhouse like was episode zero because we didn't have proper microphones and it sounds like butt.
It is on YouTube though.
Don't listen to it, but you
listen
can if you want.
Listen to it.
It's my best episode.
No.
No.
You have a really good bit in it. A really good joke. Yeah. So this is a remake. It shares four things, as far as I can tell, with the original movie. And I will list them now. The main character's name is Dalton. That's the same. There's a cage around the band. That's the same. Yeah. The love interest is a doctor lady. That's the same. And there is a bar. That's it.
Yep. Yeah.
It is a Roadhouse.
That's it.
So let's talk about that. This is definitely a remake, not a part two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is
remake.
What I was expecting.
Oh,
you were expecting for it to be like
I thought
a
it was a
son.
I thought it was a son.
Oh.
Because there was. Right. Am I making that up? There was a Roadhouse 2, right?
I don't know.
I feel like it.
I think
like
there was,
exists.
And it was. Yeah. And
or
was
there was a script for
weird.
It or something. I remember reading about it. It was. Talking about his son. So I thought this was going to be his son until
the whole movie.
Probably halfway yeah. through. I was like, oh, they're either not going to talk about it or this is, I guess, like a reimagining instead of a
yep.
sequel.
I would say reimagining almost more than remake.
Because yeah. That's so loosely.
Remake, I would anticipate more shared points.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And actually, this movie doesn't make a lot of sense. So like in the first movie in 1989's actual Roadhouse starring Patrick Swayze and Sam Elliott, who is hot as hell in that movie.
Yeah.
Debatable.
And there's no counterpoint in this movie. They don't have a buddy.
No, they
in
don't.
This movie, which kind of sucks.
They have an annoying
you
girl
that to
at
ground
a bookstore.
Dalton a little bit.
Yeah. So yeah. in the first movie, Dalton is brought into this bar that's like off an interstate in the middle of nowhere. And it's the Roadhouse. It's the bar's not called that. It's just that's what the bar is, I guess. I don't know. And he's brought in because there's so much like fighting and stuff in the bar. Furniture gets broken. Everybody's getting thrown out. They cannot A, keep a bouncer employed, and B, they don't have a bouncer like capable of calming everything down.
Yeah.
In this movie, it's I need a bouncer. That's it.
Well, she needs a bouncer who can stay because she supposedly
she's
can't
also
keep
lost
one.
A bunch of them. But like the what is a shocking difference to come to terms with. Not that this is a serious movie that deserves analysis, but I'm going to give it anyway. What is shocking is the juxtaposition of the two bars, because in 1989's yeah. Roadhouse, the bar is, pardon my French, a shithole bar. Like yeah. It's terrible.
Right.
It's like what if O'Malley's was bigger and everyone in it did punching and stuff. This bar is the best bar ever. Like, I want to be in this bar.
Luxury. Yeah. It looks like a fancy,
beachfront.
Didn't need any cleaning up, really.
This movie takes place in a mythical Florida Key that doesn't exist called Glass Key. The bar is like a cool, like open air, like tiki hut with a back porch that bumps right up to the ocean. It's a paradise.
Yeah.
All the bands are groovy. Like, they basically have Dollar Store Ray Charles and Dollar Store Stevie Ray Vaughan are, like, playing music. It's the best. And in a inexplicably, like that environment, it makes no sense for there to be fighting there. Really? Right.
Right. Right.
No. Yeah. Who could fight in paradise?
When what bothered me about the bar was,
I mean, drunk people can fight anywhere.
That's true.
But the environment, like, it made it way less believable.
That's not where motorcycle gangs are going to, like, hang out and beat people up.
Right.
They're not going to the beach bar.
Let me go to that tiki hut.
Let me go to that tiki hut where they could host a wedding.
With the nicest bartender ever.
Yeah, no way.
It's insane. So
I don't know. She's a little weird about the coffee.
I liked it.
The way
you have black coffee,
it,
no. See,
no, it's Cuban.
But I didn't
what are you drinking? Cuban.
We're Floridians. You are not. Three of us. Three of us what are Floridians. That? You're a transplant. You've been here 11 years?
11.
11 years this year.
That's enough years.
So that's the other thing that we had a hard time with. And I'm wondering if you had a hard time with this as well. Now, I've never been to the Keys. She's been to the Keys. But whatever. I had a hard time. Like, yeah, the Florida, the Cuban coffee thing. The Cuban coffee's everywhere here.
Yeah.
So it's not like, I guess I got the impression that maybe he was in
Indiana
or something.
But who has coffee? Cuban coffee and not coffee?
Well, he was,
like, that's kind of crazy.
He was Montana.
That's true. He was in Montana. So he goes across the country. So we're trying to get, like, a culture shock.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't have black coffee here. We have Cuban coffee, which
is that like
is dumb.
Is that like when you go out west and try to order sweet tea and they're just like, what?
Yeah, or like
it's
when
like
you go
when
to,
you're
what
trying
is
to
that?
Order a pickle and they're like, we have sweet pickles.
Yeah. And you're like, that's okay, I'll make my own. That's like, I guess the
I
other
don't deserve this.
The other yes, thing would be like if yes, you're in Georgia. Now this doesn't happen everywhere in Georgia because it's every place is more connected now in the internet age, but like back when my dad was a kid.
Back in my dad's age.
In Georgia, where he grew up, you would ask for a Coke and they would ask what kind. Because Coke meant soda.
Ugh, that's annoying.
Coke meant, well, Coke was made in Atlanta.
Oh.
So, but yeah. That's like Coke, there's like pop
that
people,
makes sense,
there's soda people, and then in Georgia, it's everything's Coke. I'll have a Coke. Mm. What kind? Sprite. Like that's normal.
That's wrong.
That's a normal thing.
What so, about,
I don't know what my
I'll
point
have a
was.
Coke. What kind? Pepsi.
Lit.
That's insane.
Blue
that's
Coke.
That's blasphemy, yeah.
Blue Coke.
Blue Coke. I used to drink Pepsi at when we were all at Auto Customs as a bit because Brian hated it. And to like
you
twist the knife, I learned to like it a lot. To twist the knife, I would call it Blue Coke. I'm going to go get a Blue Coke.
Blue Coke.
Love it.
And then there was that
blue
pink, you remember the pink vitamin water?
Yeah.
There's pink juice. So pink I had Blue juice. Coke and pink juice.
Pink juice.
Brown juice for coffee.
Brown juice, yeah. And 3 o'clock applesauce. Shout out to David who was on last week. So that was weird. And then the Keys, there's a point where this jumps ahead to like the second act, but there's a point where what's the dirty cop's name? Big ass. Ass big.
Big dick.
Big dick.
This is the same. He's like, you got to be careful around here. The family ties run deep. And like everyone's angry. And I'm like, it's the Keys.
It's the Keys.
No one's mad. Everyone's drunk, gay, and boning. Like that's the Keys, man.
Like, no, this is not like, no.
It's borderline Caribbean. But everybody's chilled out in the Keys.
I haven't been that far south.
Me either, to be fair. But you could corroborate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I went as on vacation, so maybe
yeah, you're hanging
out. Perspective. But there's only so many people. It's a little tiny strip. How, like, you're at the
I
beach.
Don't know.
I
any
just
of these
don't
really
see
touristy
it.
Places usually have a really seedy underbelly, but I don't know. Just seeing how pretty it looked, it felt weird to be like, yeah, it's also really gritty.
I just, of like, all the places you could have set this movie,
the Keys
why
is a
there?
Weird one.
Why there? There's way
I think
like.
They just wanted to hang out in the Keys. I think this whole movie was just Jake Gyllenhaal and his friends. Right. Like, what if we just went golfing and went on a boat and just made it a tax write off? And they're like, yeah, okay.
Who else can we have? Conor McGregor.
We'll ask him.
Yeah. The
kind of pissed me off because him? Dalton, Swayze's Dalton, was supposed to be like a really stoic and kind of almost Zen level bar or a door, like a, what are they called? The
like
bouncer.
A bouncer. Yeah.
Then this guy has no word. Bouncer history. He doesn't know how to be a bouncer. So why is he the first choice? It just seemed like a strange change.
Well, to be fair, she went for Post Malone.
No, it was somebody else, wasn't it?
No, she was going for Posty and then saw him and was like,
but
you'll do better.
Post Malone doesn't have any experience either.
The thing was, is
you don't know that.
Well, no, Post Malone, he was running the ring. That was the impression I got. Posty at the beginning was kicking everybody's ass in the fake Sherlock Holmes fight underground fight club octagon. And then when Dalton showed up, Post got pissed and everybody boned out because it's like, well, Dalton's here. This guy's an actual cage fighter who we later learned killed a guy. So that's why she ended up going, we'll get that guy that everybody's afraid of instead of the dude. You want the guy that everyone fears, not necessarily the dude that's beating
the piss. But part of the charm of like the original Roadhouse was like this kind of subculture of bouncers, and like there's this like lore around it, and it's like without that it's kind of like, okay, we're just picking some random guy because he's tough. Like it just seems like you could pick anybody at that
and
point.
We had
like,
a very cheap imitation of that in this movie, in the scene where, because this bar does have like two bouncers other than Dalton, and we have the one scene where there's fighting in front of the band in the cage, and Dalton, like, one of the guys goes to make a move, and Dalton, like, pulls him back and goes, he's got a knife under his shirt. The guy in the blue shirt's got a hidden knife in his pants or whatever. He's like, when he slashes at you, just step back and pop him in the face. And that, to me, felt like this movie's,
classic
like...
classic MMA move.
Right. when John Bones pulls a knife out. That felt like this movie's cheap version of... when Dalton in 1989's Roadhouse, Swayze's Dalton, is like training the bartender staff and going through the rules, and that the most important rule is be nice until it's time not to be nice. And in this movie, none of that at all.
They did that in two seconds in this movie.
So
he did nothing for this bar other than sort of hire a new guy.
He didn't even really do that much. He let the younger kid deal with it.
Which is what's interesting, because this movie is not a bouncer movie. Roadhouse is a bouncer movie. That becomes not a bouncer movie. And to be fair, 1989's Roadhouse, I wouldn't call that a good movie either. It's a blast. It's a lot of weird and in some ways disjointed 1980s tropes. Like, we have a full minute plus long scene of Patrick Swayze doing like Tai Chi on the banks of a lake.
We got a little bit of that. On the roof of his car.
Crunches on the boat.
There was that, and he was doing the crunches and pull-ups on the boat and stuff. But, like, I don't know. This something that Carl brought up pre-show in passing was... Well, he didn't say this directly, but I will. This movie wasn't quotable. And Roadhouse was quotable. What was the one, the nipple-to-nipple thing? You want to dance nipple-to-nipple? That's a crazy line.
There's so many lines in the first movie, like, I ain't gonna show you my dick. I can't really think of a quote from this new movie.
I have one quote.
Like, oh, yeah, that was...
I have one quote from this movie, and it's after the yacht blows up, and Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor end up on the dinghy.
Oh,
I get it. And Conor McGregor goes, we're on our own little octagon. And Jake Gyllenhaal goes, who taught you British shapes?
That's there was a lot of little fun lines like that sprinkled in, but it seemed like, there's, I don't know, the charm humor of the first one is just so much heavier. Yeah.
There's
this
humor,
piano's out of tune.
Dumb.
Sounds pretty good to me.
Dumb. And I didn't even remember that line. Like, I remember that scene, but that's the thing with Roadhouse 1. Is there's a lot of memorable lines, and in Roadhouse 2, there's a lot of humor, but none of it stuck to my brain.
They did copy the one line when he's at the hospital. She's like, "So do you ever win a fight?" No one ever wins in a fight.
Yeah,
I was waiting for that.
To say
it felt out of place.
You literally win or lose a fight every time you're in a May fight.
No, but Patrick Swayze said that, and it's perfect.
Yeah, well, but he was a bouncer. It makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And it didn't feel like...
just punches they chose to pull were weird.
Did it feel like to you guys, like they were trying to get all the homages out in the first act?
A little bit.
Like and I mainly mean that because we had the nurse scene instantly. Because,
once Conor McGregor comes, that's when it really
starts. Which is late.
That's when
it's like about halfway through.
That's when it shifts gears into like... I say this... meaning full insult, like a Transformers movie. You know what I mean? Like it turns into dumb set pieces. Like we got the whole Mission Impossible, like drone footage of the boat. Like we're trailing a boat and it's all like very, we used 80% of our budget on this shot. Like
they should have used it on some of the fighting effects. Cause
let's talk about that. Do you know why?
No.
So the fighting is a lot of CGI, I will say in quotes. And I've tried to look this up because the movie's so new, there's not a load of information. So this may age like milk. But from the research I've done, the reason the fights look weird and almost like motion smoothed is because so they're not doing what like most movies would do, which is like have me punch like past Danielle and then have her react, like using depth perception tricks.
Yeah.
They are like when Gyllenhaal would punch Conor McGregor, Gyllenhaal would punch like a punching bag, full force. And then they would add McGregor's reaction.
And then he would fake reaction.
They would stitch it. So what's cool about it is all of the punches thrown are full force, like real punches, but it looks like
the
shit.
The receiving end is not real.
It looks bad.
That's more important.
It was just so much motion. Like it was panning around and at some point it didn't even look like there were shadows. And it, like the background kind of zoomed in like a video game cutscene. I was just like, what is this? And I couldn't quite pinpoint. I was like, is the ambient occlusion off or like what's going on? But it was weird.
Was it filmed in a higher frame rate? Like something like that.
It just felt really strange.
When he gets run over by the truck on the bridge.
That looked terrible.
That was awful. Like, why can't you just film a truck going backwards? Like it was, I don't know what was going on there, but it was like.
Yeah,
it went from like 5 miles an hour to 30 and then back to 5 real quick.
It like accelerated like an RC car.
It was accelerated.
Like
maybe it was all miniatures. It was an actual RC car. That makes
you guys
the most sense.
Since we were talking about the fight, there was a brief moment where he goes, be nice.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
He goes, be nice. And I was like, that's where you chose to insert that line? Like, and then no follow-up with, like, until it's time to not be nice. I was, like, I was waiting for him to, like, hit him after that and, like, follow up with the finish in the line. But I was just like, what a weird choice. Yeah. Like, so crazy. I don't know.
I have more things to say.
We've kind of gone out of order here.
Well, out of order is fine. I don't want to march through the plot because this
movie.
Do we
want to talk about that train scene at all? Because that was.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. Beginning of the movie. So there's a whole underground fight scene where Post Malone's there. Just because they wanted to burn $2 million by having Post Malone on set for 10 minutes.
He must have a new album coming out or something.
Right. And then Dalton shows up, which that's what's weird to me, too, after, like, because Dalton leaves MMA because we learn he has anger issues and killed a guy. Like, which is
his
nonsensical, too. It seemed like his friend that pushed him too far is kind of the way that the movie's kind of dragging us along. But like MMA refs jump on the guy that's down. He wouldn't just pull him back and give him a chance to whatever. Why is he at a fight at all?
What do you mean?
Why does he get in the ring at the underground fight at all?
Just to make money.
But he's anti-fight.
Well,
yeah,
he knows
that they know him.
Okay.
And all he has to do is sit down.
That's the guy that killed that guy.
I'll accept that. It's stupid.
It is weird, though, that he wants to like capitalize off of that mistake if he's so beaten.
I mean, you gotta make money.
That's where I'm at. Like,
that's
why would you not totally... I don't know. But that's what I would do.
This movie makes a lot of weird choices that I'm like, this doesn't feel like it needed to be a Roadhouse remake because they changed so many things that make Roadhouse Roadhouse.
Well, we wouldn't watch it if it wasn't called Roadhouse.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. Well, if it's like an action movie that was new,
and I thought that was good.
If you tell me Conor McGregor and Jake Gyllenhaal are in a movie together,
I'm the opposite.
I'm not watching that.
I'm not watching it.
Really?
The opposite. Yeah, I only watched this because it was called Roadhouse. Now, to Carl's point, he leaves this. He shows up to this underground fight. Everybody bones out because they're like, "Oh, Dalton's here. He'll kill us." Whatever. and then a dude is like, "This is bullshit," and stabs Dalton. And Dalton's just kind of like, what about it?
$500? Is that all the money they were making that night?
I guess so. I don't know.
That doesn't seem like that much.
It seemed like a kind of situation where like it's a $25 like payment to get in and then winner takes the pot.
Well, I think just that one guy was $500.
Or maybe that's the case.
Oh,
I feel like the pot was bigger, but that one specific guy had put in $500.
Gotcha.
That's what I took it as.
So he gets stabbed. Who cares?
Classic.
He's driving his truck somewhere?
Was it to a train track?
Was it to the fight at the beginning? He was driving the truck.
No, because he went and he was like sleeping in his car, and the police is like, "This isn't the Holiday Inn."
That's right.
Or whatever.
And he goes. It's where he's like, it's after he's offered the job because he gets offered the job by the bar owner, who's in.
She decided to fly all the way to.
Yeah. Where was it?
Whatever, Montana.
Montana, right?
Which
something
is,
with an M.
Well, he said he was from Montana. I don't know if that's where.
So who knows where it is? Who
cares? She drives far.
Does it matter?
Let's be fair. Who cares?
It's really important. Yeah.
He does this weird thing where he is driving to a railroad crossing, stops on the tracks, and turns the truck off.
Holds
and we're like,
up.
Oh, we're going to watch a suicide. Cool. And then he goes like, eh. It's in the way that you use it. And then like tries to start the truck again and it's like won't start. And he gets to where only the bed gets hit by the train.
God.
Which and then after, which, by the way, is your nightmare.
I hate trains. I don't know why. I don't like if Cameron inches close to them, like, which, to be fair, at a red light, he does it to scare me.
Every time.
I'm like,
I love being the first car.
I hate it. Mm. So as soon as he was even near the train tracks, I was like, no, like, this is the worst. So, I hate this.
Then the train hits him.
Who stops on train? Like,
and what he gets
suicidal
from
people.
Well, why is he? He seemed fine. He just made a lot of money. Like, what?
So what? My thought
went, like, a weird choice.
My thought went, like, weird choice. Your family works on the railroad all the live long day.
Yep.
Is like that train driver still? That train driver thinks he killed a guy.
Oh, true.
Oh.
The conductor's like, not again. It's the third time this week.
I'm gonna get fired.
He's got the whiteboard in his train cabin. Train helm. It's like 0 days since last incident. He erases it.
But he still goes. He's not stopping.
Well, and then, like, the adrenaline rush of getting hit by the train, he just smiles and is like, guess I'll go to Florida, which is insane. Yeah.
Maybe he was coming to Florida to try to get run over by the Bright Line. Which is what some people are trying to do. But they're getting really mad because
so many people.
Because that train doesn't go fast enough to not be able to stop. So they'll just stop in front of people and they're just like, what? Dang it.
Are really? You serious? Yeah. That's amazing.
That's hilarious.
Wait, what is this? People, what's going on?
So the Bright Line train is a new system we have in Florida that currently connects.
My dad built some of it.
Yeah, his dad built some of it. It currently majorly connects Orlando to Miami.
I think it goes Orlando to Jacksonville now, too.
And also Fort Lauderdale. Or St. Augustine. They're building a Fort Lauderdale stop, too. Okay. So
but it's a slow train?
It's not high-speed rail, but because it's, I imagine, just from my sort of okay knowledge of physics, that I guess more of the reason it could stop quicker is it's not carrying containers that weigh tons and tons. It's carrying passengers.
I would imagine that is true.
But it's not exactly high-speed rail. I would love to go on it. We have to go to Miami to see the Marlins play at some point. I'd love to take the Bright Line just because
it'd be cool.
It's one of my weird nerd autism dreams to take a train somewhere.
I've been on trains throughout Europe.
The problem is, Carl, people keep killing themselves on the Bright Line.
They do.
Oh, I thought they were just trying.
Like, there's three.
Oh, it's like all the time. Well, I guess I get notifications every time they hit someone.
It's a dime a dozen.
Not necessarily.
Why do you get notifications for that?
So, okay.
Is there a Twitter account?
You're supposed to know about it.
Have there been suicides today? No. Yes.
All her model trains have little people in half on the tracks.
Let me tell you. Can I explain why?
Yeah.
She loves trains, but she's fascinated with, like, Danielle, like, the
she loves
Venn
trains, but for the wrong reason.
The Venn diagram of train fan and true crime barely intersects, and it's just right her. There. Yeah.
So I. Let me explain. So I have a friend. I won't say her name.
But if you did, it'd go a little something.
No. She wouldn't drive for a really long time. She's very anti-car and, like, just she loves Japan and other cultures and just not America.
Don't make it hard to guess who it is.
She doesn't listen to this. Anyways, but I like to troll her every time the train hits somebody because I'm like, is this the America that you want? This is what you want? Is this the future that you envision for your country? Just people getting hit by trains?
Oh, my God.
So every time the train hits someone, I send it to her.
This is your fault. So you have notifications on for this?
Hey.
No, it's just an Instagram account.
Hey, I have a train fact.
You do?
About Japanese bullet trains.
Yeah.
They're
really fast.
They have duck bill noses.
So they just
the trains. Yeah, they just fling little
just
Japanese
quack people right off. Yeah.
No, so they have duck bill noses. So, like, it's the train, and then it'll have this little, like, platypus nose. And none of the high speed rails in Europe, like I believe the French, have the fastest high speed train. Like, Japan's not even the quickest. But
really?
The reason they have this nose is a lot of the trains in Japan go through tunnels. And a lot of the tunnels are near populated places. And the train is so fast that before they added that nose, when it would hit the tunnel, it would make an almost sonic boom loud noise.
Oh.
So they added that nose to scoop the air.
Aerodynamics.
So that the concussion from going from open air to a tunnel isn't as concussive for the people that live there. Huh. Here's a train fact I learned yesterday.
Train fact.
Wow.
This is the best chance my dad has ever had at listening to this show. So much train talk.
I have.
He's probably sitting in his truck on his iPhone just smiling right now.
For such a small plot point.
Oh, the dog just got the ball stuck behind the cigar box.
Oh, she's going to be so sad.
She's looking right at you. You got to go help her.
But I have this one.
That's true. All right. Elfie screwed.
I have this one.
If Phoebe gets stumped.
I'll get it.
Train suicide. Oh, so... The first thing he does is goes to this bookstore and has the most unrealistic conversation of all time with these people that we're supposed to care about.
Never met a local bookstore owner.
She's.
I care about those people, but the dialogue was bad.
It was just bad. It's poorly written.
Their involvement in this movie was so forced so we could have that scene at the end.
Yeah. However, so...
I was here
after,
for it.
After he... Because there's money that's hidden, whatever. We're not going to talk about every plot point because... Actually, excuse me, don't watch this movie. He hides the money in there, whatever. I knew that what the last shot of the movie was going to be, and I said it out loud to her.
You did.
Oh, you just guessed.
10 minutes before, because we go back to this bookstore that gets burned down by the biker gang, just so that we have an ending. Dalton goes back there, talks to the girl for a bit while her dad, we assume, finds the money that Dalton stole from the big bad boys and hid it in the burned down bookstore. While this scene's happening, we have maybe 5 minutes before the ending. Did I pause the movie? I don't think I did.
Yeah, you might have.
I might have paused the movie, and I told Danielle, I said, this is going to be the last shot of the movie because Dalton's leaving by bus. We're going to have a big pan out, and the last thing we're going to see in this movie is the tree that grows on the disused road in the intercoastal. Mm-hmm. Guess what?
That's what happened.
It's the last shot.
Nailed it.
And I went, it's predictable. It's a formula.
Oh, no.
You were Batman last week.
What you said was, call me to write the end of the movies or to consult, something like that.
I mean,
let me consult on the end of your movies.
It felt like too big a departure because the first movie, he settles in that town with the lady and this one, he just leaves.
Yep.
It didn't seem, that's why I'm just like, this doesn't do enough of the Roadhouse classic tropes to be a Roadhouse movie.
He doesn't even just leave. They tell him to leave. They're like, all right,
that's
get
true.
Out.
Because unlike in the last Roadhouse.
That shotgun, the Dead Poets Society thing where he's like, you weren't here, get out of here. You kind of get that, but not really in the same effect. Like the first one's just so ridiculous.
Officer Ass, or whatever his name is.
Big Dick.
He's a terrible character. Because he's like, a weird half villain that then gets out-villained by the villain and then has a face turn right at the end.
Well, he saved his daughter.
Stupid. Dumb.
I mean,
let her die.
My biggest beef with this movie is actually the villains, because as a main primary villain, we have Dollar Store Joe Burrow, who none of you know because you don't watch football.
I know that, who that is.
That guy looks
least.
Like the Bengals quarterback, Joe Burrow. I found him not scary. No. Not imposing. No. The main villain guy.
No, I said
yeah,
no.
They had a weird, had a weird face one. Reveal for him with zero payoff.
Yeah, and he's like supposed to be benevolent. And yeah, the shaving thing was weird.
I'm talking about the okay.
main guy.
That
whatever.
Dude, why they teased that he was going to get like his throat cut or something. And I was like, why set us up like this? Is it just that he's being thrown into this terminal, like the Caesar... moving and he's just like thrown into this kind of like thing.
You know
he's got a.
You know what it felt like to me?
It just
was
felt weird.
The villain introduction of like an early to mid 2000s Adam Sandler comedy where we have to have a villain, but we have to make him funny. So we'll have a shaving scene.
Yeah.
But I feel like they meant it to be like, oh, he's bullying this kid who's trying to shave him. I don't know. Yeah. It's such a stupid
like he's
choice.
Reckless. Like he doesn't care if he gets cut. Like it's just like why would you risk it? Like why get shaved right here? Like it just
that
it's
whole
a weird
scene
choice.
On the boat where he's getting like, his face shaved felt like a clip straight out of Grand Theft Auto. The dialogue
like
just is moving around.
Yeah. Yep.
Just a weird cut right? scene in a mission you're doing.
Just
that
like
this movie in general felt like GTA. Yeah. Freaking Conor McGregor walking around like an NPC.
He always walks like that,
dude.
What a weird walk he's got.
It's pretty weird. Like,
it's the billionaire walk. It's Vince McMahon did it in the WWE.
Is that where does he keep all his money between his legs and he just has to keep a wide stance? Like why?
I think that's what it is. I don't know. I know it from Vince McMahon. I'll have to show you.
I think it's just muscle,
WWE
dude. Like,
yeah.
He's just too
so
big.
Muscly.
What he always wears.
Sorry, I don't fit through this door.
I follow this menswear account on Twitter. So I used to follow it because I don't use Twitter anymore. And it's this dude that just like he's a men's like high fashion kind of knower. Like he writes articles for newspapers about this stuff. And he is very critical of Conor McGregor's suits because Conor McGregor is A, undeniably very muscular. Dude's body, unreal. He's just a machine.
We see all of it.
Built to murder. Yeah, we see everything but his gentleman's area. Yeah. But he always wears suits that are stitched so tight that if you look at red carpet pictures of Conor McGregor, you can see the seam splitting.
Oh.
And
this man a suit that fits. Like,
that's
what?
Exactly. And that's the critique is like slim suits, yeah. Cool. But not when they're bursting at the seams because your biceps, like yeah. whenever you lift like a drink to your glass, spandex. You're destroying yeah. the damn thing. The other thing he hates is like the thing with the NBA is like suit pants that are cut to show the ankle while you're standing. We're not going to talk about how I roll my jeans to do the same thing.
To quote
thing.
Jim Jeffries, you look like cunts.
A lot of the guys on The Bachelor rock that look and without socks, and it's just...
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
No, now, wear socks.
No socks and leather shoes is a dangerous choice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bad choice.
Plus, if you're... Like, I have leather loafers as my dress shoe of choice right now. You get to show off the sock. Show off your cool sock.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
What the hell? So, yes, Conor McGregor. Let's talk about him for a minute. So, I knew that this movie was going to happen. I'm not a UFC fan, but because Gyllenhaal was at an actual UFC event filming the UFC parts. So, all of the flashbacks to him at the fight was for a actual real UFC event where they actually had him come out.
Pause
and exactly
we're gonna do this now
literally and then they did a couple of the fight scenes and then they went back to the normal fighting like before the main event so that whole thing
actually real. I thought the octagon fight scenes were pretty compelling and pretty believable. It was just that like last fight scene that was ridiculous,
the underground one with Post, you're saying?
I mean, I think that fight scene was good. I think the actual scenes in the octagon with like Jake fighting whoever that was,
those looked real.
I think, but then it was just that last final scene that was just like went bananas.
Those may have had real contact because you're not going to have time to do the double thing at a real UFC event.
Well, true. I thought the close up of his face in the octagon was really rough.
I didn't notice.
Like silly.
Yeah, it just didn't feel.
He's making a funny face.
I don't know.
Well, because he was just getting angry, and then like it's just like what? Like I don't know. It seemed like such a weird swing from like that persona to his new persona, and it was just like I guess a killing guy would do that to you, but it just didn't seem right.
Right.
My question is: does Conor McGregor, like the name Conor McGregor, does he not exist in this universe?
You're getting ahead of me.
Oh yeah,
you're getting ahead of me.
Okay.
Here's what I want to say. This is what I wrote down. I wish Conor McGregor played Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
I think that it would have been funnier if he was just himself. I think it would have been a little more believable if it was just himself. Now, by playing Conor McGregor, I don't want him to play like UFC fighter Conor McGregor, because then you can't have him be this fantastical character. But remove him from that and just have him be himself. And the other thing...
Yeah, because there were multiple times where I was like, oh, look, Conor McGregor's acting. This is cool.
Yeah, and I don't think he did a bad job of acting, because they largely were like, just be an anus.
Be you.
No, you don't understand. Like, he's like that. He's a maniac.
Still doesn't make it good for a movie.
He's a crazed maniac.
He was a fun villain, though.
He was a fun villain in the UFC.
The most, like, 80s kind of vibe. Like, he was just ridiculous, over the top. Like, that, I kind of liked his performance, but it just seemed like it came in too late.
This is a guy who got in trouble before one of his major fights because he threw a whole chair through the bus window of his opponent.
Khabib.
Like, he's a maniac.
Khabib?
Now... Yeah. One of the other things, and this is the most jarring thing about McGregor for me, not the acting, not the delivery, not the fact that he wasn't himself. They covered up his tattoos with fake ones.
Oh, really?
That's weird.
Huh. Because he had like a Knox, Knox, Knox tattoo or something.
Knox, Knox, Knox.
Maybe
under his ribs, he has.
Well, so maybe Conor McGregor does exist in this universe. The difference is the tattoos.
So, like, I got the Knox, Knox, Knox ones, because if you're going to change his name, he actually has McGregor tattooed there.
Oh, I didn't even pay attention
and then
to that,
His chest tattoo in real life is a gorilla eating a heart. And then he's got a tiger on his, like, where his belly button is. All of those are covered up. I don't think he has one on his back.
Did he have anything there, or was it just...
No, he has all covered up, like, fake tattoos over all three of his real tattoos. My wonder with that is there was a one of the WWE 2K games that came out a couple years ago. The company that made it, 2K, I believe, or whatever subsidiary of 2K that made that game, got sued by the Viper Randy Orton, who's a wrestler. He's the one with all the, he's got two sleeves with skulls. His tattoo artist sued the developer for
putting it in the game,
for putting his intellectual property, the tattoos he put on Randy Orton, in the game. They said, that's my IP. I designed that. You owe me millions of dollars because you put my art in that game without paying me.
That dude wanted money.
And it went to a higher court. I don't remember the verdict, so I'm not going to speak on it either way. I don't think
millions seems steep.
Well, it's like
the game, he was like, they're going to come down.
The game sells a lot, you know? So I kind of
that's
get
that's a
it.
Weird one too, because it's like once you do was it, it's on somebody else. It's their thing.
Well,
now.
What do you
was
do?
Was he
with,
like on the cover
that's
or something?
That's a weird
no,
one.
No, he was just, in, the game, which is what weirds me out, because it's like, well, he's on every WWE pay per view. He's on television. He's on.
Yeah.
I feel like that's now a part of his person, not your art. Like it's your art. Yes,
you're giving that.
You sold it.
Him.
Yeah.
Well, but
that's a weird one, though.
Then
yeah.
again, huh. like if someone walked up to me and was like, "Hey, your tattoos are sweet. Can we, like, in a crazy hypothetical that would never happen? Can we put one of your tattoos on a beer can or something?"
Yeah.
I would feel like, well, I gotta ask right. Jake. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I
but if they were like, let's put a picture of you with your arm tattoo on a beer can, there,
that's different. But if it was the design, I would be like, I got to ask Jake.
Is there any scenario where Jake says no?
Then it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, I just don't think he would ever say no. I don't think anyone would ever say no to that.
I'm going to try to remember. I got to go back and I want to finish.
We got
to
go get another tattoo so we get answers.
I'm going to go back.
We need a questions court for the verdict. I want to know what happened.
I may message him tonight. I got to go back and get more work done. I want to bring up that whole situation and be like, what do you think as a tattoo artist? What's your kind of two cents on that? But that was very jarring to me. I actually looked up pictures of Conor McGregor. Like right
Conor
after
McGregor
he debuted,
shirtless.
Conor McGregor's ass. We do see his whole body.
First,
he does not
times.
Have
yeah, a decent amount
any
of
hair on his body below his neck.
No, he's a hairless man.
He's hairless. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about how terrible Jake Gyllenhaal's tattoos were?
What was up with his?
He had an equal sign.
Equal sign. Did that mean anything?
No.
Does that mean something in UFC or something, MMA or whatever?
I don't know. I know more.
I'm going to Google
can
it.
You Google, it, Google while, it while I monologue for a minute? The tattoo that pissed me off the most of his was the two thin lines on the inside of his rib cage. I'm like, what is? What are
or
what
the
are
like
doing?
The triangle things that were on the back of his arm? Those were bad too.
Yeah, he's got like three little like
those like lines,
like carrots.
Yeah,
like this, like a little root.
I also
shapes.
Didn't like his. I didn't like any of them, but the one on his forearm too was just dumb.
Yeah, and now listen,
boo.
This is coming from a man. I have a triangle tattoo. I have, I have
and lines
two. I have two Phantom Menace tattoos.
You do.
I'm gonna go get a third. So I don't know if I can really talk.
Sure,
but I am gonna.
Sure.
And they
well,
were
because here's the thing. They could have put whatever tattoos they wanted on him. They're fake.
And that's the thing.
And that's what they chose?
That's what bums
they
me.
They could have
now,
put none, like the original Dalton had.
Right, and that's what pisses me off. And not pisses me off. That's way too strong. We'll go to you in a second. What makes like draws the big question mark for it is they all seemed like tattoos for someone who goes into a tattoo shop and just wants tattoos. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, not that I think tattoos have to mean anything. This one does to me. These don't. Like, my left arm is just going to be, Star Wars is neat. Like, it doesn't have deep meanings to me. It's like, Darth Maul looks cool.
But they have meaning to you.
Darth
it's
Maul.
It's not completely meaningless.
Darth Maul looks cool.
It's not a shape on your arm.
That's true.
There's at least nostalgia. Yeah.
Well, there's a difference. Like, they don't have to have deeper, like,
in
emotional
history.
Meaning. But,
like Anthony.
Someone could walk into a tattoo shop and be like, I want a tattoo. Give me a sun.
Like, Anthony from Smosh has, like, the ink drip where they just splatter ink all over you. And it's his whole, like, up to his neck. And it's.
That looks awful.
It's stupid.
It's so bad.
Not to yuck your yum, but I'm gonna.
Not to yuck your yum.
Like, I don't like it. So.
Jake Gyllenhaal has zero tattoos in real life, so all of them are fake.
Yeah,
some
of
them, he said, are tributes to Patrick Swayze, but will not it reveal which
one.
They're supposed to be Easter eggs.
So like if, that's if you, not a real.
If you know, you know. If you get it, you get it.
Did he but he didn't have any tattoos.
So
the equal sign is because this movie is equal to the original. I get it. Matt.
Like, one line is Patrick Swayze, one line's me.
Yeah.
And we're congruent. We're parallel. Like, okay. Like
I am Patrick Swayze.
So this movie is missing one enormous thing from the first Roadhouse. This is the biggest omission for
Sam
me.
Elliott.
Good musicians.
It's missing two enormous things. I really wanted Sam Elliott. I was talking to her last night. I really wanted Sam Elliott to show up at the bar a la Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
And just kind of come and be like, God. Yeah, just to come
back. That would have changed my entire score of this movie.
You know, they don't have black coffee here. They just have Cuban.
Or there's just a fight going on in the background. He just goes, been there.
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Last
I ain't going to show you my dick.
Yeah.
The bartender's like,
no one wants to see it. Get out of here.
I don't know whether to lay on this bar or drink at it.
He could have been the guy that walks in at the end and goes, are you guys open today?
Yeah,
that would have been perfect.
That would have been good.
I noticed there's a hole in your roof, but can I come in and get a drink?
But also,
dry today.
Also, he's dead, but also this isn't connected.
Sam Elliott's not dead.
Well, no, the character, character. But it's not connected.
Wade Garrett.
Now,
Wade.
What I was going to say.
What's it missing?
It's missing what I wanted and wasn't going to get. Was the throat grab?
We got one,
right?
No, well, but the murder, the
he stabs him with stakes like he's a vampire, but he doesn't grab his throat.
You got to rip a throat out. That's cool.
And that iconic line, "I used to fuck guys like you in prison."
Yeah, what?
Dude, if they would have said that, oh my god,
we even had a guy
so
in prison.
Iconic lines.
We could have had the dude, the dad of the villain, show up at the very end and kick Patrick Swayze's ass or something and say that line.
Oh my god!
How long have we been going?
38 minutes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Did you guys?
I'm out of notes. I don't have anything else to say.
I like the guy getting eaten by the gator. As soon as they said there's a gator in there, it's like, a crocodile in the first act. You know, he's going to have to come out and eat somebody. Like,
well, but it was funny.
Yeah.
Like when the dude got eaten, it was funny. It wasn't like,
oh, no.
It was like, he's getting eaten by the crocodile.
I couldn't tell if
hilarious.
He was trying to help him up.
He was. Yeah, he was.
He was trying to pull him up. He was. But yeah, because he's like, that's the weird, like, he's kind of nice. Like, he was nice.
Until it's
like,
time not to be nice.
Those lines, he drove the guys to the hospital, which was funny. I thought that was
that amazing. Was good.
And the other thing, the thing I like is the first interaction he has with the bikers. He starts the fight by slapping them.
Oh, no. Yeah. I slapped you.
Like, he slaps all three of them.
That was
like
funny.
Do you have a good dental?
I did like the biker guy with the broken arm that was
that
a little bit
great.
Of comic relief.
The guy from, he's from Broad City.
Oh, good to see
you. Mo.
Oh, yeah. Broad City. What?
His name was Mo.
Yeah, yeah. Mo. He plays a gay guy in Broad City. I don't know if he's gay in real life or not, but he was so funny in this movie because, like, he was the one, like, redeemable character that was, like, a bad guy. He was like, I'm just leaving. I just wanted to ride bikes.
You know, those guys aren't as nice as I thought they were going to be.
Yeah, after he collapses the dude's trachea with a punch and murder. Yeah. I think that's kind of our parallel to the throat grab. We got the throat punch. But
yeah,
it's not as good.
Yeah,
not the same. You know what else wasn't as good? The flirting over conch soup. That was dumb. She was She was not into him at all. And then it's like, oh, it's conch soup, not conch soap. And then he was just like, it's the best. And then she's in. And then she's like, all right, let's take you out on my boat and make out.
Well, he told her about pink pearls.
That wasn't even good flirting.
Also,
it was bad flirting.
Everyone in this movie is drinking a Blue Moon.
Blue Moon.
Every beer was Shocker. Blue Moon.
This is one of those movies that was like, you can see the sponsor in every scene. It's like, brought to you by the MMA.
If I'm on the beach, I don't want a Blue Moon.
I mean, that sounds pretty all right.
I want 75 Coronas. I don't want a Blue Moon.
I'd take a Blue Moon over Corona on the beach.
Right, but you're like...
He's not from
Florida. You're a fancy boy. You don't like cheap, shitty beer. I love
Blue Moon is... Not fancy.
It's not a lager.
Yeah.
Or like an island Mexican cerveza.
You can get it at a gas station.
You can get Highlight at a gas station.
Yeah.
It's
not fancy.
I don't want a Blue Moon.
At one point, the main villain kid goes to the bar and he orders a vodka neat, right?
Yeah.
And they bring him like a brown drink?
No, he had a vodka. He had a vodka.
It was like, it was not clear.
It was clear.
He doesn't care. He's an alcoholic.
It was clear. 100%.
I'll send a screenshot. I swear it was not clear.
It was clear.
Maybe it was the background. Maybe the color grading made it look like brown.
It was clear because he takes a drink and I kind of thought that looks thick, like real vodka, not thin like water. So,
Oh, do you want to know how many times they said the word Roadhouse in the movie?
Let me guess.
Yeah.
Let me guess.
Yeah, guess.
5.
69.
The sex number. Haha.
No. Carl, what's your guess?
13.
19.
Really?
About like 10 minutes. The Roadhouse. 10 minutes in, I was like, we said Roadhouse when he first meets the bookstore people. I was like, we've said Roadhouse 4 times in this conversation. So
really?
Then I started keeping count. And then I think I remembered. I was like, she only said it like one time because she was like, I own a Roadhouse. So 19.
I feel like the number in the first movie is less than 3.
Yeah, no, they said it all the time.
Well, yeah, because back in those Roadhouses had names. This Roadhouse was just the Roadhouse.
The Roadhouse.
Well, it was a Roadhouse.
It was called a Roadhouse.
The Roadhouse.
Called the Roadhouse.
But he was like, I've got a boat my uncle named it too, and it was called the Boat.
That was good.
Well, and you know what the other thing that they made a point to do was they made a point to say that it was Road Space House was the name, but it's a Roadhouse, no space. And I believe they did that because everybody writes the movie name without the space. But it's in both instances, it's kind of
like Blade Runner. They combine it. I had to
triple check while naming the Blade Runner episode because I want to combine it.
Which
too.
Cut is the full? Yeah, which one which, is two words of
which
one?
Cut of the name Blade Runner?
It changes the meaning when you combine it. Maybe he was a replicant if it's one word.
So I want to pose a question before we do hit mid or miss, because we can't yet. We have to talk for another 20 minutes.
I also have some kind of hot points.
Okay, cool.
I was about to say, there's got to be hot points.
No, some I'm changing my mind. Let's do hit mid or miss right now.
Ooh.
Okay.
Let's do it early, and then I want to follow it up with another question. I want to start with you, because I think I want to. Hit mid or miss for you?
Miss.
Miss for you?
Like,
why?
It's just... I don't know. I feel like it wasn't campy enough to be super... like, it was fun. I didn't have a bad time watching it, but, like, it wasn't a good movie, and it wasn't really, like, campy enough to be that fun.
So, do you mean camp in the 80s sense?
Yeah. So the 80s Roadhouse had more of a, this is a crazy, dumb movie. I'm going to enjoy it. This was just too bland of...
I feel like we need a modern version of camp. Because I did think this was campy, but in the way that Transformers is campy,
modern and camp.
By camp, I mean like lead sniffing 2000s action movie.
Lead sniffing,
not like 80s camp.
80s camp is just so charming now, and it's like
it is.
It's hard looking back at that movie and then going to this one and being like, the UFC is not camp. Like, it's so, it's, I don't know.
I don't know, like, the action looked weird, and Jake Gyllenhaal's character was just blah.
Yeah, too many, like, concept editing or something to be camp. Yeah. Like, the other movie, when I was rewatching the original, the fight scene with Swayze and whoever that guy that used to fuck guys like him in prison on the beach, it was all, like, very, it was just a wide shot of them fighting. It wasn't like, you know, there wasn't ridiculous choreography. It wasn't like crazy cuts and like
stitched
together with TikTok editing. Yeah, it was just like it was basic.
Cap cut.
So I don't know. I wish they kind of just kept it and stripped it back a little bit and kept it kind of
made it look gritty. Made it look grittier.
There
wasn't any grit.
That's the other thing. I don't know if anybody else got this, but it kind of reminded me of Bert's movie where it was just too pretty.
Yeah. Everything's
like,
too clean.
Everything is just so crisp and clean. Yeah. There's so much color, and everything is like color graded so well, great.
I don't think that's the problem, though. I think it's the performance
and the script
in that.
Mm. It's the script.
Yeah.
It also reminded me of Bert's movie because it's bad. Carl, hit mid or miss?
Man, this is tough because I was very, very excited in the last episode to watch this one because this
so
was like
funny.
I don't know. It kind of disappointed me. Like I wanted it to be a little bit more true to the source material. So I'm torn between like miss or mid.
I think I'm gonna do the lower end of mid,
but because I think it was fine. I think it.
All right.
I don't know that it works as a standalone. I think it only works if you have like the rose tinted glasses and remember that movie and then kind of go into this one and be like, okay, it did okay. It didn't hit the right notes for me. So it's like go ahead, Nick. What?
I want to quantify that. What out of 10?
Out of 10?
So
I think
a 6?
I honestly feel like comparing itself to the original Roadhouse is taking it. Like, I feel like they should have just been like, this is a new thing and just like not compared itself. Cause then it could have been like a standalone.
Beach House Brawl.
Way better name.
Like the
Beach House Brawl
or anything.
Objectively bad.
I think out of 10, I'd give it a 5.
Okay. So a true mid kind of.
I think Gyllenhaal's performance carried it. And I think, I don't know if he's like trying to get new actors a platform, because it seemed like at the end of the credits, it was like introducing and it was like all these new people. And I was like, maybe he's just trying to like,
did you guys watch?
Maybe he's trying to give these new guys a platform or something.
Carl,
yeah,
did you
know the post credit too? I stayed till the end and I was just like, oh, so he's not dead? Okay. they're going to make
the post credit scene is Conor McGregor walking out of the hospital.
Seemingly
naked.
Fine.
Yeah.
Again.
Like, is he naked again?
Yeah. It was basically his intro, but an outro. So I guess
it was the exact same as
wreak havoc. But yeah, I think it's
sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
For me, if this wasn't Roadhouse and not connected, I would give it a mid. But because it's Roadhouse, it's a miss.
Ooh.
So two misses, one mid.
Miss.
I'm also going to give it a mid.
Boom.
For me, it is a 6 out of 10, not a 5. I will explain thusly.
I'm more 4.
I expected the movie to be so much worse than what it was.
That's fair.
I expected it to be ass. And what I got was a kind of fun, stupid movie. And I can respect a movie for being fun and stupid. I thought Gyllenhaal and it was fine. 5.5. I'll give it a 5.5. It's
it keeps getting lower.
Bad. Now, my follow up question to the group is this, and I think this is answerable by all of our scores. Should someone watch this movie? I would say no.
Nah.
I would say no. I would say no with an asterisk. If you have not seen 1989's Roadhouse, do not watch this movie. Go watch the original Roadhouse.
That's what I was about to say.
If you have seen 1989's Roadhouse and you want a shittier version of that, just know this movie's bad, but you might have some fun watching it. In fact, David watched it this morning.
Well, nice.
And him and I were messaging it. Same deal. Like, he had not seen Roadhouse.
I don't know that this is even good bad yet.
He thought it was...
Like, at least the original Roadhouse is very good bad.
From what I got, he thought it was fun stupid.
Does that come with time, though?
Fun stupid is our good bad.
Fun stupid.
It's like our new word.
That's the opposite of good bad.
You do end the movie going, huh, that was fun.
Yeah. That's what I did.
And I think
there's no hope at the end of it, though. He leaves and goes where? Like, at least in the first one with Swayze Dalton, he has his lady.
You should appreciate it. He's a rambling man.
I guess I will say they did mention that it was kind of like a Western, which I was like, okay, you kind of got me with the Western motif.
Without any of the
like,
charm at all.
Right, but it's like sand on a beach is kind of like sand in the desert.
No.
Exactly the same.
A watering hole in the deserts of Oklahoma serves a totally different purpose than a watering hole on the beaches of Glass Key. Those are two different things.
I think you should watch it.
You just know that across the street from a red house, there's mini golf. It's different.
Yeah, it's the tourist town. I think you should watch it just because we need more mid-budget like B movies like this, and I think this gives us more.
Oh, let me look at the budget.
Potential good comedies. Oh, go ahead, Nick.
I was just gonna say to the budget thing. I feel like this got passed around from studio to studio.
Oh, cheap.
So
cheap.
That probably affected budget stuff.
All right, so they gave them Amazon gave Gyllenhaal and the filmmakers a choice. You get a $60 million budget and a theatrical release, or you get an $85 million budget and it's direct to streaming. And they chose $85 million direct to streaming. Oh. That's still.
And they just pocketed it.
Can you imagine this movie with a lesser budget?
That's $105 million less than Dune Part 2, and that's $360 million less than Rise of Skywalker. That's a $410 million movie.
That's insane.
And it's worse than Roadhouse.
I was going to say, which one's worse?
Yeah. Oh God, I'd rather watch Roadhouse clockwork oranged my eyeballs for 48 hours than watch Rise of Skywalker once. That's a piece of shit.
Did
movie.
I miss?
Hey, we talked about Star Wars.
Did you say if we you should watch it or not?
I said, nah.
No, you didn't like it. You weren't even having fun. It didn't seem.
I mean, I didn't hate my time, but like...
It was just so aggressively fine. Yeah. I think they need to keep making more of these because they haven't quite gotten it dialed in yet. I think they've got it close. I think they almost need to do this like a Bond. Every 10 years, we get a new Dalton. And that's the Dalton for our generation. And we just keep making more. And Dalton becomes a Bond figure. And we just kind of keep reinventing him.
Sounds like Bert talking about his movie.
We'll do it every 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So check out.
I think 40 years is the cutoff because the Blade Runner remake was fantastic. This remake, 30 years later, didn't quite do it. So another 10 years, and we probably would have nailed it.
Maybe it would have been perfect.
It should have been, they should have waited for 2029.
Mm. Yeah.
Roadhouse 2029.
Yeah. Harrison Ford's in it. No, Harrison Ford will be dead.
Oh, my God.
Maybe not.
We'll be able to digitally recreate him.
He'll be here.
Man, it'll be
That's
sad.
Only 5 years. Six be, years. 5 years.
Yeah. Well, I'm out of things to talk about.
What Daniel's do we think about not. The music?
What do we think about the... I didn't pay attention to the
Because the music in the first one was such a part of the setting. It felt so grounded, and the music here was kind of newer and felt weird.
I have a beef with the music at the very end. Very, very end. When the... I don't know. What is it? Does the bad guy walk up in the end? I don't remember.
The sheriff walks up and is like, get out of here.
It's before that. It's when Conor McGregor comes back. Or right after. Who cares? It's at that...
On the ocean scene?
One of the last scenes. No. Boat has crashed into the bar.
Okay, and that guy lived somehow.
They play a sped up and pitched up version of Enter Sandman by Metallica. And I was like, what the hell?
I did not pay attention.
Just play the real version. What the hell is this?
A shocker to no one.
I didn't like it. What did you have?
Hot Prince.
Oh, God bless America. Yeah. We have Hot Points. It's the most important part of the show.
Hot Points, yes. When I do it and only when I do it.
I don't have Hot Points music.
Shots fired.
Because after David did Hot Points, he ripped the iPad stand off the table. So I don't
Maybe
have
Maybe we'll
the
be back next week with music. Mm. We'll see.
Should have had a guitar. I should have played.
Oh, that's the move.
Romance.
There's 10 other channels on the soundboard. I can do whatever I want.
Wow.
No, there are 4 guitars in that closet.
I'll hold my mic up.
They're all in cases. Go ahead.
I don't have a ton to report because this movie was so aggressively fine.
And this is Gyllenhaal Hot Points.
Gyllenhaal Hot Points was aggressively fine, but not in the good way. He got
Jackie Gyllenhaal?
Minus one.
A minus.
Minus one for his stupid neck tattoo. I was like, that's just dumb, not hot. And that's literally the only reaction I had. I kind of wanted to add a hot point when he was doing some things, but I was just like, yeah. I don't
know. His personality was just not there.
He had no personality. Can I just say, he wasn't charming.
I don't think that he carries abs well.
Ooh. Shots fired.
I don't know. I would trade that body right now.
Of us would. But I think the abs wear him instead of him wearing the abs. It just looks kind of funny. I don't know.
You got to admire that commitment, though, to the physique for a movie that's a remake of an 80s movie. It's like, that's... Wow.
He
must have really thought he had something.
He's on Kratom or something.
I think Patrick Swayze is hotter than...
You weren't a fan
of... We didn't do Hot Points
Swayze?
At that point, right?
No. What?
Were you not a fan of Swayze?
We didn't have Hot Points at that point.
Do you think you could do justice to Hot Points for Patrick Swayze right now?
I think Patrick Swayze, looking back, I think his character is hotter than Jake Gyllenhaal's character in this movie.
Patrick Swayze has a face for radio.
I know you hate Patrick Swayze.
That's who it was.
I think he's hideous.
Not Danielle Cameron.
He's hideous.
Listen, I also, though, am more endeared to him because of Dirty Dancing, so I'm biased.
I'll do anything I can in life to never watch that movie.
Cameron, we have to. Come on. Oh, my God. I should have had that for my favorite movie. God.
I'm gonna kill myself.
Why?
I don't want to watch
it's
that
a classic.
Is Dirty Dancing a romantic comedy? Yeah. Is it not?
It's a romantic.
It's kind of.
It's a romantic drama.
Yeah, but more romantic drama. Ugh. There's some comedy.
Not
I don't
enough.
Know.
Is that Nobody Puts Baby in a Corner?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I've seen enough of that movie from you watching it on like TV or whatever to know it's that so I would hate it.
Why?
Because it blows.
No, it doesn't. It's
stupid.
It's a classic.
Lots of things are classics that you don't like.
Yeah, but this one I like, so I'm right.
Casablanca is a classic. Nick doesn't like it because he drinks paint or something. I don't know.
Whatever, man.
And you can't swim.
Listen, Nobody Puts Baby in a Corner is iconic.
It sure
was. There an overall scale for Swayze and Roadhouse, or just too far from it to give him a number?
She can barely remember, and Phoebe's.
Yeah, I can't. I don't really remember the movie enough to give him a scale at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, because of how the scale works, you kind of have to have the movie.
I have to have the reaction
because you start at five.
The visceral, yeah, yeah.
And sometimes you know it's.
Well, you know, Swayze would have got hot points for his work out there in the yard.
I think so. Everyone watching.
Oh, one more thing. I have one more complaint about this movie. No defenestration. Made me sad. Nobody goes through a window in this movie.
Oh, I was like, what?
No explosions either.
You said no defenestration?
I mean, okay. I wanted...
Yeah, defenestration is something going through a window.
That is a nice word that I will use from now on.
And fenestration is like adding windows to something. So
it sounded
you fenestrate your house.
Sexual to me.
And, fenestration.
You know where I learned that word? Jeff Davis, when they're doing the Harmontown Book Club.
About God, that guy's so well read.
He is. He uses it as a brag. He says, "I've read literature," whenever he's in an argument. I'm trying to read literature. Jeff. I've been trying to read Casino Royale. That book sucks. It sucks. It's Ian Fleming's first Bond book, and it is so full of just unnecessary French that it's it's hard for the stupid American audience because he'll just be like, "Oh, you know."
I'd give up.
It's just, dude, I'll show you. I actually put some...
Yeah, I've seen some of it.
I put some screenshots in Discord of some of the uses of French. I had you read it, too.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It's incomprehensible.
You should know some French, right?
Well, it's more terrible the misogyny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he gets the female partner. Let me read. I'll read
it's
this
so
bit.
Bad.
Because he learns that the partner he's going to get, just like in the movie, is a woman. In Casino Royale. Mm. And he says, then there was this pest of a girl. He sighed. Women were for recreation. On a job, they got in the way and fogged things up with sex and hurt feelings and all the emotional baggage they carried around. One had to look out for them and take care of them.
About time someone said it.
Wow.
So, and you know, I've read old books. Like I can kind of look past that stuff. But after I tried to beat. So you know what I'm going to do?
Oh my God.
I got advice from an author once that said, don't fight your way through a book. If you're not feeling it, it will bum you out on reading as a practice. So get rid of it. So I went back to Scud, The Disposable Assassin comic novel by Rob Schraub.
Nice.
I'm going to finish that. And then there's three other books.
You have so many books
on my book section. And
read.
That's not even all of them. I have 8 books and 4 more in my wish list on bookshop.org, where you should buy all your books and not Amazon.
Bookshop.org
has donated tens of millions of dollars to local bookstores around the U.S. So books are more expensive, but you're not supporting Jeff Bezos.
I've bought a couple Barnes & Noble books recently, and it just feels wrong.
It's another gross titan. Bookshop.org, baby.
Yeah.
Anybody have anything else to say before we wrap this up? Because I don't want to talk about this movie anymore.
No. Are we going to pull?
Let's pull. So we are going to enter a new month. It's a new month.
It's going to be April.
With a new theme. This theme, Carl coined, so it's his fault. We're going to do Sword Month. All the movies.
We just covered so much ground last year. I was like, what haven't we done? We haven't done much swords.
Oh, I get it.
Sword Month.
Yeah, so we're going to do all these movies have swords. There's only 3 because I think we have to figure out
We have to decide the fourth.
I hope there's somehow one that
We had a fourth, but all of us had seen it, so we have to discuss post-show.
Or maybe we'll watch it, but we'll see.
Maybe we'll watch it. So
we'll never tell.
I have one. It's the wrong side.
I've missed the bucket.
How embarrassing.
Man.
All right. I'm excited. This is the one I wanted.
What is it?
We're going to watch the second best Heath Ledger film.
Oh, let's go.
We are going to watch A Knight's Tale.
Yay.
This is
so good.
I've been watching this for so long.
Did the dog eat the ticket?
No, I put my foot over it.
Okay, thank you. So A Knight's Tale is a comedy movie. It also stars...
It's so good.
Paul Bettany is in it.
Paul Bettany?
Yes, Paul Bettany's in it.
Paul Bettany.
Vision and the guy from...
Oh, really?
It's a lot of people you'll recognize, be like, oh, I've seen that guy.
Da Vinci Code.
It's a medieval film that also has Queen's We Will Rock You in the soundtrack.
Nice.
It is hilarious.
The right kind of camp.
It's a very, very good movie. Very, or it's Heath Ledger's movie he did right after
10 Things.
He went from 10 Things right to 12
to 14.
So I'm very excited. You haven't seen it, right?
No.
And Carl, you haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it. I've literally held off.
Brandon Frederick showed me this movie when I was a teenager. He said, it's one of my favorite movies. I've only seen it once, not at his house. And I've seen this movie like 5 times because it was just like, you know, we'd play Call of Duty till 3 a.m. and then put
and
on
then a, watch a movie
and then put on a nightstand and fall asleep. One of the times I distinctly remember because we went to like the gas station and we each got our own 2 liter of Mountain Dew and just opened it. And we're drinking.
Oh my God.
How are you alive?
That's probably why
you
I
go
have,
to sleep after that.
That's probably how I have heart problems.
That's why you have issues. So. Yeah. I can't imagine drinking an entire.
I also once like knocked over an Arizona tea can like off the couch. And grabbed it and went. I caught it and held it up to Brandon, and I caught it upside down. So it was just glug, glug, glugging.
Oh no!
Onto the floor.
I caught it.
He just looked at me like, "Did you?" So shout out to Brandon for showing me this movie that I am so excited for you two to watch. It is a hell of a movie.
I'm excited.
I don't think it's like the best movie of all time, but I think it's a very good 2000s comedy. And it's Heath Ledger.
I assume you said it's the second best Heath Ledger. I assume
Dark
the first
Knight.
Is Dark Knight.
Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Dark Knight. It's just that's.
So, I mean, calling it second, that's high praise.
I've seen 3 Heath Ledger movies.
That's fair.
So,
okay.
Grain of salt, but it's.
I only know 3.
Asterisk.
And, like, as far as movies I enjoy, like, I would casually put on A Knight's Tale before I put on Dark Knight. So, just subject matter wise. So, very excited to watch this movie. It's been a couple years. You and I have watched it in this house, right?
I don't think we have. I don't think we've watched it since we were dating.
Maybe we were dating.
We were in your parents' house.
Gosh. Oh. So it's been 7...
And you really wanted to make out, but I was like, no, I really want to watch this movie.
Heath Ledger is on the screen.
Heath Ledger's in this movie.
So it's been 7 or 8 years since I've seen it. So really excited. Really excited for you guys to watch it. Take notes, please. We'll have to watch. I've got a couple favorite scenes that come to mind straight away.
Nice.
So we're going to watch that. And watch Sword Month.
Sword Month.
Not Fantasy Month. That would be too easy.
Swords.
We're going to grasp our scabbards.
Fantasy's too wide a scope. Yeah. Sword is way more focused.
And more generalized.
He knows what he's about.
So, Christ on a bike. All right. We're going to watch A Knight's Tale.
And Sword Month.
We'll catch y'all in the next one.
Oh, God.